If covering the Chinese Communist Party change of leadership is tough for Western media outlets, consider the task confronting China Central Television, the country's sole national network. CCTV has served as the party's mouthpiece since 1958, and though it lacks the brand recognition of CNN, it has the world's greatest reach, with more than 1.2 billion viewers worldwide. Yin Zhu, a professor of media culture at the City University of New York, has written a new book on the little understood network called 2 Billion Eyes, The Story of China Central Television. She says its coverage is so bland, even government bureaucrats can't stand to watch it. Instead, the TVs at the Central Committee's Beijing compound are reportedly tuned to Phoenix, an independent Hong Kong-based channel available to China's urban elites. And yet, Ying Zhu was stunned in more ways than one when she felt the earth shake on a visit to Beijing in May 2008. It seems the Sichuan province earthquake had also shaken up CCTV.
Initially, it was very frank and very fast reporting. The coverage was very impressive, just as if you were watching a report from BBC. This is actually minutes after the earthquake hit. CCTV was on the ground and doing reporting.
That must have been shocking, given how much effort there was to cover up the SARS epidemic.
Absolutely. It used to be a sort of a habitual cover-up of major natural disasters, but you cannot possibly cover up earthquake, where internet is functioning and globalization is taking over. And the other thing that provided this kind of window of opportunity for CCTV was, initially, the party regulators were so stunned, they failed to react. For a while, there was no party directive as to how to act. So people just basically acted on their instinct. I have to go chase the news.
But later, when the investigations turned to the shoddy schools and the needless sacrifice of thousands of lives because of poor construction, then what happened?
The euphoria is short-lived. The party's propaganda czar, Li Changchun, went to CCTV a few days after the reporting, encouraging the report of the disaster from a certain angle, positive reinforcement. On the night of his visit, CCTV added a new segment called Heroes in Disaster. It started to focus on the government-led disaster relief effort.
So a gradual return to business as usual?
Business as usual. And also you point out that the shoddy school construction, it was not covered from the perspective of corruption and a power abuse.
So how does the government exercise control over CCTV's content? Is it active or is there an unstated agreement among the producers?
Increasingly, control is carried out in a form of self-censorship because over time state has loosened its control, but nevertheless, there are consequences. If you don't conform to certain perceived regulations or rules,
you lose your job.
You lose your job. It's a bread and butter issue. Therefore, you have a generation of young professionals who are very good at intuiting what is permissible, what is not.
So CCTV is a strange animal. It's both the Chinese government's mouthpiece and a for-profit company with operational autonomy. So it has to make money. At the same time, it has to stay ideologically pure.
That's very interesting, though, because over the years, the state and the market have formed an alliance to advance the kind of wholesome television program, ideologically inoffensive, yet commercially viable.
One CCTV channel took as its model, heaven help us, The Apprentice.
Well, CCTV has ripped off a lot of the Western formats. And a local station, too, Hunan Satellite Television, for instance, came up with the singing competition show. Another came up with a dating show. It's called If You Are the One. They have provocatively dressed a young woman parading on the stage. What they're looking for is no longer love or relationship, but affluence.
This is The Bachelor.
Exactly, in the Chinese native soil.
I thought it was really interesting that officials will leak important stories to CCTV in order to maintain its primacy as a source of news.
That's right, because it is in the best interest of its regulators to protect CCTV's monopoly. It also banned certain local programming. For instance, the programming that heavily utilized the dialects, these programs are banned because these programs give the local stations a leg up.
So they just crush local competitors?
I tried, but the local broadcasters fought back.
And succeeded, at least in some places?
To a certain extent.
Younger internet-savvy critics of CCTV have called it hee-hee TV, as in ha-ha-ha.
That's right.
And these people are getting their news from the internet. Isn't the number projected to reach 445 million?
Right, by the end of this year. That's the projection.
Mm-hmm. You've been living and working in New York for a very long time, but you did a lot of on-the-ground research in China for your book. And what you sought was, in anthropological terms, a thick description.
It basically means that you live with the subject of study. You know, I really hate to use the subject of study. These are not my subject of study. These are really my colleagues, in a sense. And, you know, I feel a real sense of kinship with them. It doesn't matter whether they walk under the authoritarian state or not. And so I have a great admiration for these people who try so hard to deliver what is, you know, basically impossible. I came away with less of a cynicism, you know. I became less judgmental. You know, occasionally I felt that there is a sort of a hypocrisy on my part, right? And I can go in and stir up a little trouble, and I leave, I depart, and I go back to my Upper East Side, Manhattan, and sip cocktail. But people are stuck there, and that's their livelihood, and I think they deserve some credit. They are essentially the desperados of news.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Ying Zhu is the chair of the Department of Media Culture at the City University of New York, College of Staten Island, and she's the author of 2 Billion Eyes, the story of China Central Television.